weather trends, expert takes, and the truth behind the data, you're listening to Weather Waves, found at WXWaves.com.
This summer heat. Wow, it feels intense, doesn't it? I mean, for a lot of us listening, it might genuinely feel, well, hotter than usual this year. So today, we wanted to really dive deep into what's actually going on with the weather. The data might be quite surprising.
It really might. Our mission today essentially is to unpack the latest global climate data we've got. We want to understand the mechanics behind some of these, you know, extreme heat events we're seeing. And maybe most importantly, equip you with some practical, even life-saving survival tips that come straight from, well, the source material. We're drawing on detailed climate reports from NOAA, some fascinating insights from NASA about a recent U.S. heat wave, and also some solid preparedness guides.
Okay, fantastic. Let's get into it then. Our first set of sources, they really paint a compelling global picture, starting with the latest climate report for May 2025. And what it shows about our planet's temperature is, well, it's pretty eye-opening.
It really is. The data coming out of NOAA's National Centers for Environmental Information is quite stark. May 2025, it clocked in as the second warmest May on record globally. And these records go back to 1850. We're talking 1.1 degrees Celsius, that's about 1.98 Fahrenheit, higher than the 20th century average, looking at land and ocean combined. Only May 2024 was warmer. And here's the thing that really stands out. The 10 warmest Mays on record, they've all happened since 2014.
All 10 since 2014, wow.
Yep, it's not just random variation anymore. It points to a persistent shift. Scientists are definitely watching this closely, especially how fast these records are falling. And it wasn't just the combined temperature. The land-only and ocean-only figures for May also ranked as second warmest.
So it's definitely more than just one hot month we're talking about. It's a sustained pattern. Does this pattern stretch beyond May?
Oh, absolutely. If you look at the March through May period for 2025, globally, that was also the second warmest on record. And here's the real kicker. For that same period, March to May, the global land-only surface temperature, that was the highest ever recorded.
Highest on record for land.
Highest on record for land during that three-month spring period. And if you zoom out even more, the year-to-date, so January through May 2025, also the second warmest globally. In fact, scientists are saying there's now a greater than 99% chance that this year, 2025, will end up ranking among the five warmest years ever recorded.
Over 99%? That's almost a certainty then.
It's a very high probability, yeah.
Okay, that global picture is, well, it's certainly compelling, but I'm really interested in how these big numbers translate into, you know, actual experiences on the ground. What were some specific regional hotspots?
Right, let's bring it down to specific places. Take the United Arab Emirates. They had their warmest May on record. Daily temperatures often shot past 40 degrees Celsius. That's 104 Fahrenheit. And get this, on May 24th, one spot hit 51.6 degrees Celsius.
51.6, that's nearly 125 Fahrenheit.
Exactly. It shattered previous records, some set just days before, and another from back in 2009. That kind of heat is just extraordinary.
Oh, I can barely imagine that. When you see numbers like 51 degrees, what are the immediate worries, like for public health, daily life?
Well, the immediate concerns are huge. Massive strain on power grids, you know, for air conditioning, a huge increase in the risk of heat stroke, other heat illnesses, and it makes outdoor work or even just basic daily activities incredibly challenging and dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Another really striking example, maybe somewhere you wouldn't expect, Iceland.
Iceland.
Yeah, Iceland. It had its most significant May heat wave on record, lasted from May 13th to the 22nd. During that time, 94%, almost all of their automatic weather stations logged new temperature records for May. They even set a new national May record, 26.6 Celsius, which is almost 80 Fahrenheit, on May 15th.
80 degrees in Iceland in May. That really puts it in perspective, doesn't it? Seeing that in a place known for its cooler climate.
It really does. It just shows how widespread these shifts are.
What about other areas, maybe closer to home for some of our listeners?
Sure. France had a really intense heat wave late in May. It resulted in their hottest May afternoon on record. The national maximum temperature indicator hit 30.5 Celsius, about 87 Fahrenheit, on May 30th. And the UK, they just had their warmest spring on record. There was also this really intense and long-lasting marine heat wave going on west of Ireland and along the UK's western coast. Sea surface temperatures were up to 4 degrees Celsius, that's over 7 degrees Fahrenheit, warmer than normal, one of the longest heat waves like that for the region.
A marine heat wave affecting the ocean temperatures that much.
Yeah. And it wasn't just those places. South America, Asia, the Arctic, North America, Africa, the Caribbean, the Hawaiian region, they all had warmer than average Mays too. Some ranked among their top warmest ever.
So these global numbers really do translate into some extreme local realities. Okay, let's zoom in, like you said, closer to home for many listeners. Let's talk about that recent U.S. heat wave.
Right, that sizzling start to summer, as some called it, in late June 2025. This was driven largely by what we call a heat dome. Now, for anyone needing a quick refresher, a heat dome is basically this big, persistent area of high pressure. It kind of pushes the jet stream north and then traps hot air near the ground. Think of it like putting a lid on a pot, basically.
Right, I've heard that analogy. And they can stick around for a while.
They can, yeah. Sometimes days, sometimes even weeks. And their impact seems to be getting, well, more significant. They create these incredibly oppressive conditions.
So what did that particular heat dome mean for people actually living through it?
Well, it brought intense heat, obviously, but also really high humidity and very warm nights, which offers little relief. It affected huge areas, mainly the central and eastern states. The National Weather Service ended up issuing heat advisories, even extreme heat warnings, across big parts of the Midwest, the Northeast, and the Southeast. And this is where that term heat index becomes super important.
Ah, yes, it feels like temperature.
Exactly. It combines the air temperature with the relative humidity to give you a better idea of how hot it actually feels to your body. Because when humidity is high, your sweat doesn't evaporate as easily, right? So your body can't cool itself down efficiently. That heat index pushed the feels like temperatures over 100 degrees Fahrenheit in a lot of places, even if the thermometer reading alone wasn't quite that high.
Over 100 feels like. That must have been dangerous. Did it break many actual temperature records?
Oh, definitely. The numbers were pretty stark. On June 24th, seven states up in the Northeast either tied or broke their monthly high temperature records for June. We're talking Connecticut, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Vermont.
Seven states on one day.
On the same day, yeah. And on that day, Boston and New York City JFK Airport specifically both hit 102 Fahrenheit, that's 39 Celsius, new June records for both locations. And just before that, on June 22nd, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, recorded its warmest low temperature ever for any day, 82 Fahrenheit, or 28 Celsius, that's the lowest it got all day.
An 82-degree low, that's incredible. No relief overnight.
Practically none. And one more little factoid. St. Francis, Kansas, on one of those days, hit 104 Fahrenheit, 40 Celsius. It was actually the hottest spot in the entire country that day.
Hotter than Death Valley.
Hotter than Death Valley, California. On that specific day, believe it or not.
Okay, so it's clear the planet's heating up. But you mentioned earlier, it's not just about temperature. Our sources also point to some pretty dramatic shifts in precipitation, too.
That's a really critical point, yes. While we're focused on heat, the precipitation data, especially from May 2025, shows a really interesting, maybe even surprising, global picture. Preliminary data suggests that May 2025 might have been the wettest May on record for global land, going back to 1979 when good satellite records began.
Wettest on record globally, but hang on, I thought we were also hearing about droughts.
Exactly, that's the paradox. Globally, on average, it was very wet for land areas. Asia had its wettest May on record, Africa its second wettest. But then you contrast that immediately with specific regions, the Caribbean and the Hawaiian regions. They had their driest May on record.
Wow. So extreme wetness and extreme dryness happening at the same time, just in different places?
Precisely. It really highlights the variability and, you know, the sometimes chaotic impacts of these broader climate shifts.
Hmm.
Our sources give some really stark examples of both. On the flooding side, there was torrential rainfall in northern Haiti early in May, around May 5th. It caused devastating floods, impacted over 3,000 families, destroyed homes, livestock, crops, roads, just terrible. Then, mid-May, heavy rain in northern Algeria triggered flash floods. 15 people sadly died, over 100 injured, farms and infrastructure destroyed again. And around the same time, northern Buenos Aires in Argentina faced dangerous floods affecting over 700 to 500 people.
Just devastating impacts from too much water. And on the flip side, where were the dry spots really hitting hard?
Well, Mexico's drought monitor, mid-May, showed nearly 40% of the country affected by drought. And large areas in the northwest and north-central parts were facing extreme to exceptional drought conditions. Closer to home again for some, the UK had its sixth driest spring overall. England specifically had its second driest spring on record. And Germany and the Netherlands also recorded their third driest springs since their national records began.
So record heat, record rain, record drought. It really feels like the extremes are becoming more common.
That's certainly what the data suggests, yes.
Okay, after diving into all this complex data, global patterns, local impacts, What's absolutely crucial now is knowing how you listening right now can stay safe and respond effectively. Because knowing the stats is one thing, but navigating these conditions safely is what really matters. So beyond understanding the heat index, what's the number one piece of advice for extreme heat?
Right, this is where we get really practical. Preparedness is absolutely key. And yes, understanding the heat index is foundational. Like iAlert.com points out, it's about that human perceived temperature, and high humidity is the big factor that reduces your body's ability to cool itself through sweating. It's good to know there are tools out there, like the iAlert.com heat index calculator they mentioned. You can find similar ones online easily. They help you estimate that perceived heat and the safety precautions needed right where you are.
That sounds incredibly useful, having a tool like that. What's something people often forget or maybe underestimate when judging how hot it really is?
I think people often underestimate how quickly things can get dangerous, especially when you have high humidity, maybe not much wind, and you're exposed for a while. Those factors compound. So let's walk through the absolute key safety tips. Number one, without a doubt, is hydration. And it's not just drinking when you're thirsty. You need to prehydrate before going out, keep hydrating during activity, and rehydrate afterwards. Don't wait until thirst hits. And a really critical warning here. If you have fluid restrictions from your doctor or you're on water pills, you must consult your doctor about safe fluid intake during hot weather. Don't just guess.
That's a really important point about medical conditions. Okay, hydration first. What's next?
Next is dressing appropriately. Simple stuff, but effective. Wear lightweight, light-colored clothing. Light colors reflect the sun's energy better. Limit your direct sun exposure as much as possible. And definitely wear a hat, preferably wide-brimmed.
Makes sense. What about exercise or just being active outdoors? Should people just stop altogether?
Well, you definitely need to adjust your activity. If possible, reduce, eliminate, or at the very least, reschedule strenuous activities to the coolest parts of the day. That's usually early morning or late evening. And if you are active, take frequent breaks. Find shade. Get into air conditioning if you can. Don't push through it. Then there's car safety. This one is just non-negotiable. You never, ever leave infants, children, pets, or elderly individuals in a parked car. Not even for a minute. Not even with the windows cracked.
Temperatures inside can skyrocket so fast.
Incredibly fast. It becomes life-threatening in literally minutes. And another quick tip. Always check the temperature of car seats or upholstery before putting a child in. Those surfaces can get scalding hot in the sun.
Good reminder. Who should we be particularly watchful for during these heat events?
We need to monitor high-risk individuals. That includes young children, older adults, anyone working or exercising outdoors, and people with pre-existing medical conditions like heart disease or respiratory issues. They're all more vulnerable. And this leads to community care. Please be a good neighbor, check in on elderly adults who might live alone, or anyone you know who might not have reliable air conditioning. A simple check-in can make a huge difference.
That's a great point about community. And pets.
Absolutely. Don't forget pet safety. They need protection, too. Always make sure they have access to plenty of fresh water and shade. Pets can suffer from overheating and heat stroke, just like humans. Watch for excessive panting or lethargy.
Okay, so being prepared, looking out for others. What about recognizing if someone is getting sick from the heat? Knowing the signs seems critical.
It's incredibly important, yes. And you need to know the difference between heat exhaustion and heat stroke, because one is serious, the other is a life-threatening emergency.
Okay, break that down for us. Heat exhaustion first.
Right. For heat exhaustion, look for signs like heavy sweating, maybe muscle cramps, feeling faint or dizzy. Their pulse might be fast but weak. Breathing might be fast and shallow. Nausea or vomiting can happen, along with fatigue, weakness, and headache. If you see these signs in someone, or feel them yourself, stop all activity immediately. Get to a cool place, lie down if possible, sip cool water or a sports drink slowly. Loosen clothing. A cool shower or wet cloths can help. If the symptoms get worse or don't improve within an hour, you should seek medical attention.
Okay, stop. Cool down, hydrate, monitor. And the critical signs for heat stroke, how is that different?
Heat stroke is much more severe, and it's a true medical emergency. Call 911 or your local emergency number immediately. The biggest signs are an extremely high body temperature, often above 103 Fahrenheit or 39.4 Celsius. And here's a key difference. Often, there's an absence of sweating. Their skin might be hot and dry.
No sweating, because the body's cooling system failed.
Exactly. The body just can't cope anymore. Other signs include a rapid strong pulse, difficulty breathing, maybe a throbbing headache, and importantly, neurological changes. strange behavior, hallucinations, confusion, agitation, disorientation. They might slur their speech or even lose consciousness.
That sounds terrifyingly serious.
It is. If you suspect heat stroke, immediate medical help is vital while you try to cool the person down. Rapidly move them to shade, cool water immersion if possible, cool wet cloths, fanning. But the priority is getting professional medical help on the way. It can be fatal if not treated quickly. So, you know, wrapping up what we've looked at today from our deep dive, the picture's pretty clear. Global temperatures are definitely shifting. We're seeing record-breaking heat becoming more frequent in many places, but it's also coupled with these really varied intense precipitation events, those devastating floods in some areas, crippling droughts in others. It's not just a simple warming. It's more like climate disruption.
Right. So given these complex interconnected patterns, this record heat happening alongside record floods and widespread droughts, it really makes you think, doesn't it? What does this suggest about how we can best adapt, not just our daily habits, but our communities, our infrastructure, preparing for a future where extreme weather, maybe in all its forms, becomes, well, the new normal? Something to definitely consider. How relevant is this knowledge? How can you apply it in your own life and maybe in your own community?